This morning's scripture reading is from Luke 19, 11 through 27. But I'm going to back it up just a wee bit for context. Let's say a word of prayer first. Lord God, we thank you so much for your word that you have provided us in writing that we can know of you. Ask, Lord, that we hear your word and that it be embedded richly. In your name's sake, amen. So this is from Zacchaeus' communication with Jesus. So from verse 9, Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." While they were listening to this, he went on to tell them a parable. Because he was near Jerusalem, and the people thought that the kingdom of God was going to approach at once. Jesus said, "A man of noble birth went to a distant country to have himself appointed king, and then to return. So he called 10 of his servants and gave them 10 minas. 'Put this money to work,' he said, 'until I come back.' But his subjects hated him, and sent a delegation after him to say, 'We don't want this man to be our king.' He was made king, however, and returned home. Then he sent for the servants to whom he had given the money in order to find out what they had gained with it. The first one came and said, 'Sir, your mina has earned 10 more.' 'Well done, my good servant,' his master replied. 'Because you have been trustworthy in a very small matter, take charge of 10 cities.' The second came and said, 'Sir, your mina has earned 5 more.' His master answered, 'You take charge of 5 cities.' Then another servant came and said, 'Sir, here is your mina. I have kept it laid away in a piece of cloth. I was afraid of you because you are a hard man. You take out what you did not put in and reap what you did not sow.' His master replied, 'I will judge you by your own words, you wicked servant. You knew, did you, that I am a hard man, taking out what I did not put in and reaping what I did not sow? Why then didn't you put my money on deposit so that when I came back, I could have collected it with interest?' Then he said to those standing by, 'Take his mina away from him and give it to the one who has 10 minas.' 'Sir,' they said, 'he already has 10. He replied, "I tell you that to everyone who has, more will be given. But as for the one who has nothing, even what they have will be taken away. But those enemies of mine who did not want me to be king over them, bring them here and kill them in front of me.'"
This morning is our third Sunday of Missions Emphasis and the first Sunday of Lent. Yesterday morning, everyone who's on our mailing list received an email from me, and the subject line was a question: how can Lent deepen our experience of giving? And I am going to answer that question. But before I do, I reorient ourselves to where we have been in this series and where we're going. Our home base for the series is the parable of the 10 minas, which we just heard. The first Sunday in February, we explored a biblical view of stewardship. From the parable, we learned everything belongs to the King, and we are His servants. Beyond this, we heard Jesus tell us that stewardship is a matter of the heart. Jesus said, "Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." From various scriptures, we saw that good stewardship involves receiving our life as an expression of God's sovereign power, goodness, and love. Last Sunday, we delved into a biblical view of money and wealth. From the parable, we learned the king gives us money and other resources as tools to produce wealth for the king. Jesus taught us in the parable that God entrusts resources to us individually and as a church family. He is giving us the opportunity to show our ability to be stewards of His wealth. This is because God wants to give us even greater resources and enlarge our responsibilities and influence to use for His glory in this world and in the world to come. Today, we are tackling the subject of a biblical view of giving. From the scriptures, we'll answer three questions. Why do we give? What do we give? And then, what do we get? Next week, we'll wrestle with the fact that investing in the kingdom is a spiritual battle. This necessarily flows from the fact that biblical stewardship, which is how we manage, grow, and invest God's resources, is fundamentally a matter of our heart. Today, as we look at the parable, we will see that we give back to the king what he has given us with its increase. The increase of our giving is the impact that our giving has for the kingdom. And I want to pause here and give an example of giving that produces a kingdom outcome with an increase that by faith we give back to the Lord. I debated about using this particular example because it's specialized to a certain group of people. Particularly, it commends those who send their children to Christian schools, which encompasses a lot of us. But by telling this illustration or using this illustration, I do not intend to state or imply that parents who send their children to Christian schools are better parents or better Christians than those who send their children to public schools. Christian parents can have good reasons for not sending their children to Christian schools. Nevertheless, with that understanding stated, I decided to use the illustration because it touches our church family quite deeply, I think. And it provides a living example of what it means to invest in the kingdom and by faith give us increase to the Lord. So here goes. Among us, a considerable number of our parents made enormous sacrifices to send us to Christian schools. As parents, a substantial number of us made an enormous investment of our money and other resources and often sacrificed other good things to educate our children in Christian schools. Beyond this, there are those among us that have contributed to the Christian education of their grandchildren and or other children. Those of you who have done this, need to know and believe that the investment you made in your children's Christian education is a stewardship investment of God's God-given resources in the kingdom. we give the Lord that investment and its increase. When we put that money to work, trusting God that our investment is going to bear fruit for the kingdom by making our children better disciples of Jesus. And so we'll help our grandchildren be better disciples of Jesus. Because of this investment, we expect that our great-grandchildren and our great-great-great-great-grandchildren will be better disciples of Jesus. By faith, we invested in building a generational legacy for our families whose impact for the kingdom will far exceed the monetary value of that investment. We invested the resources the King put at our disposal to make our children better disciples of Jesus. And the increase of that investment is the good fruit of the kingdom that our children and their children and their children's children will bring forth in this world. And at this point, it would be appropriate to say, thank you, Peaches. Thank you, Sarah. Are there others involved in Christian education here? I think you're the two. And Donna, thank you for all of your investment in making our children better disciples of Jesus that are going to impact this world along with their children and their children's children. Why do we give? The primary reason that we give is because our God is a generous God. King David teaches us that the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. Our God, sovereign King of the universe, the creator and owner of all that exists, lavishes his generosity on all humankind through his common grace. Louis Burkhoff said that God's generosity in his common grace appears in the natural blessings which God showers upon man in the present life, in spite of the fact that man has forfeited them and lies under the sentence of death. It is seen in all that God does to restrain the devastating influence and the development of sin in the world, and to maintain and enrich and develop the natural life of mankind in general and of those individuals who constitute the human race. In short, we give because all that we have comes from the hand of our generous God, who by his grace lavishes life and the resources for life upon us all. God's greatest act of generosity towards us was giving his Son to die for our sins. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. How does Lent deepen our experience of giving? Lent deepens our experience of giving because Lent demands our attention to the ultimate generosity of our Heavenly Father in giving his Son to die the death that we should have died. In return, from the Father withholding nothing from us, Jesus calls us to be like our Father and withhold nothing from Him. Jesus calls us to lay down all of who we are and of what, all of what we have for Him. Jesus said, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me." Lent deepens our experience of giving by challenging us individually and as a church family to become more like Jesus by growing deeper in our generosity. Generosity flowing from our love and thankfulness for all of God's good gifts and God's salvation through the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. That kind of generosity will naturally lead others to come to know Jesus and to become like Him. What do we give? We give the only things that we can give. We give back to the Lord what He has given to us with His increase. King David gave generously from the national treasury and from his personal wealth for the building of the temple. Following his example, the kingdom's officials gave generously from their wealth. Then, following the examples of their leaders, the people gave generously of their wealth. David summed all this up in these few words to God: "Who am I? And who are my people that we should be able to give as generously as this? Everything comes from you, and we have given you only what comes from your hand." In our parable, the two faithful servants return to the king his first investment with its increase. The first one came and said, "Sir, your mina has earned 10 more." The second came and said, "Sir, your mina has earned 5 more." Along with giving back to the Lord what He has given us with His increase, we give ourselves. When I say we give ourselves along with giving to the Lord what is His, I do not mean that we give ourselves in addition to what God has given us. I mean that we give ourselves to the Lord in the act of giving back to Him what is His with His increase. We give ourselves along with what belongs to the Lord in two ways. The first way is that we too belong to the Lord. We give ourselves, when we give ourselves to the Lord, we are returning to Him what is His. King David said, "For you created my inmost being, you knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful." Now let's just stop and think about that now. David's talking about himself here. Your works. David is the work of God. He's saying, your works are wonderful. Do you ever think about that? for yourself? To just think, God, you put me together in my mother's womb, and all your works are wonderful. That means I am wonderful. I am wonderful because God says I am. God made you that way. God made me that way. And David says, I know it full well. Lord, help us to get that into our soul. So you see, the Lord made us. We belong to Him. The second way in which we give ourselves, along with giving the Lord what He has given us, is that our time, our effort, our intentions, our motivations, and our hopes are bound together with what we give back to the Lord. God created it that way. Because even the works that generate the increase in the Lord's resources that He has given to us, even that has been ordained and orchestrated by the Lord. For we are God's handiwork. God made us. We belong to Him. And He made us. He created us in Christ for what? To do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Do you see this? Ourselves, the resources God gives us, the work He gives us to increase His resources, the outcomes of our stewardship, all of it belongs to God and are inseparably intertwined together. And here's the beautiful part. God has so orchestrated our success that we cannot fail. Because He's designed it to all work together for our good and for His glory. If we just step into the way God wants us to live, we cannot fail. Except if we choose not to give ourselves over to the goodness of God and in joyous gratitude give to Him all that we are and all that we have. That sounds like a high ideal, and it is. However, it is not an impossible ideal. God works in us over a lifetime. Don't just think about where you are today. Think about where you were last year, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 20, 30 years ago. Look at how God has transformed you in that space of time. Little bit by little bit, day by day, you have become more like Jesus. You have become more capable of giving more of yourself and more of what you have to God for His glory. So let us not be paralyzed with discouragement when we feel those feelings of hesitation or resistance about giving God who we are and what He has given to us. Let us press forward. Let us move by faith beyond that and cooperate with the Spirit of God at work in us. For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to fulfill His good purpose. You see, God wants us to succeed so badly that he takes it upon himself. He says, I am going to work in you to cause you to will. That is, to cause you to desire, and then to cause you to act in ways that will be good for you and will bring glory for me. I will make you succeed if you will only embrace the process. Embrace the process. God is at work in us, making us more like Jesus every day. This means that as we intentionally follow Jesus every day, we become more capable of giving to God all that is His. What do we get when we give God what belongs to Him along with this increase? We share in the abundance and glory of God. Imagine the surprise and delight of the two faithful servants when their king let them keep the original investment plus its increase, and then gave them more resources and larger responsibilities. Let's hear these sweet words again. Well done, my good servant. Because you have been trustworthy in a small matter, take charge of 10 cities. The two faithful servants took full advantage of the opportunity given them by their master to prove their ability to steward his resources, and then offer his investment and its increase back to him. In return, the servants lost nothing and gained a greater participation in the wealth and the glory of their king. Israel experienced this in giving for the dedication of the Lord's temple. Israel also experienced this in the giving for and the dedication of the tabernacle. One encouraging part of the tabernacle experience was that it came after the people had utterly failed God by worshiping the golden calf. And we can be encouraged by that, because our sins, our failures, are never the end of the story. They're never the end if we will only turn back and repent and start walking back towards God. It becomes a part of our glorious story of how God is greater than our sin. So after the people had utterly failed God, they repented and rededicated themselves to the Lord and to the work of the worship of the Lord. In Exodus 35 and 36, after Moses told the people the requirements for constructing the tabernacle, we read, "Then the whole Israelite community withdrew from Moses' presence, and everyone who was willing and whose heart moved them came and brought an offering to the Lord for the work on the tent of meeting, for all the service, and for the sacred garments." And they brought so much that the workmen came to Moses and said, "We got to stop this. We got more than we can handle. The people are giving too much." Then Moses gave an order, and they sent this word throughout the camp: "No man or woman is to make anything else for the offering for the sanctuary. And so the people were restrained from bringing more because what they had was all, because what they already had was more than enough to do all the work. Amen? That's what happens when God's Spirit moves on His people with a spirit of generosity. And we experience that as a church family all the time. That God gives us more than what we need to get done what we need to do. What was the result of this generous giving that the Lord had given them? Then Moses set up the courtyard around the tabernacle and altar and put up the curtain at the entrance to the courtyard. And so Moses finished the work. Then the cloud covered the tent of the meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. So the cloud of the Lord was over the tabernacle by day, and fire was in the cloud by night, in the sight of all the Israelites during all of their travels. The results of the Israelites' generosity and obedience was that they shared in the presence and the glory of the Lord who was dwelling among them. Is anything like that happening in our church family? I want to propose to you that it is. For years, our church family has been investing the resources entrusted to us in our food pantry and thrift store. During the pandemic, God has worked to bless us with hundreds of tons of free food. Hundreds of tons that we've not paid a penny for. During the lockdown, our pantry has been a physical and spiritual lifeline for hundreds of families. And probably not false to say thousands of persons. God has expanded the local reach of our church family well beyond Sauk Village and Linwood. People are coming from all over. We are touching the lives of individuals and families that before the pandemic, our normal operational limitations would not have allowed us to serve. If we have eyes to see and ears to hear, we can see the generous glory of God among us, doing for us what we could not do for ourselves. We could have never bought that food. We could have never enlarged the scope of our reach. God did that for us. So God is at work among us, doing for us what we could not do for ourselves, so that we can generously do for others what they cannot do for themselves. You see how God enables us to be like Him, to be generous like Him? That's how good God is. Why do we give? We give because God generously gives us everything. We give because He gave His Son Jesus to do for us what we could never do for ourselves. In living the life we could never live and dying the death we should have died. What do we give? We give of all of who we are and all of what we have to the Lord. Plus His increase. We do this because in His grace, He has given us our life, all we have, and all our ability and opportunities to bear fruit with those resources for our well-being and for His glory. And what do we get? We get to share in God's abundance and glory as we see Him at work in us, among us, and through us. Emmanuel, we are a generous people because God has worked that into us as a church family. And as we follow Jesus, this is what we can look forward to. Our generosity will increase. And our joy in and love for God will increase as we steward the generosity that God has lavished upon us as individuals, as a family, as families, and as a church family. That's our future. God has big plans for us. Let's pray. Father, we can hardly begin to express our thankfulness for how generous You are to us. And the cry of our heart, Lord, is that we just want to be more like You. We want to thank You for Your goodness. We want to receive every day as Your gift to us. We want to receive all that we have, every down to the smallest thing, Lord, as Your provision for us, Your kindness, Your goodness to us. And to believe and know that You have taken into account everything that we need for our well-being and to become more like Jesus. And that's what You're doing for us. Lord, help us to lean into the process that You have created where we understand that. We understand You are at work in all things, conforming us into the likeness of Jesus so that we can be generous as You are generous. Lord, we want to lean into that as individuals and as a church family so that we can experience the deep success that You have created us for. That's what we ask. Help us, Lord. In Jesus' name.